You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Correnti, joined by my two co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, man. It's almost Turkey Day.
I am bleeding a lot.
Eric lost a finger prior to recording this week's podcast. But you know what?
The show must go on.
The people need the holiday episode. They're going to need something to listen to while they come down off the turkey high.
This is Eric's Jordan game.
This is my Jordan flu game.
This will right go here in the vault, be looked at in history as the game, not the game, the podcast where you rose above all adversity and shined. It was your finest hour. So
I expect this to be a 60-point output.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, how'd you lose that finger? Well, I was cutting a Rice Krispie treat. That's how it started, and that is how it ended.
You know what? It's not a tragedy if you die doing what you love. And Rice Krispie treats, they're delicious.
They're delicious.
They truly are. All right, we're off the rails to start.
Not like a heathen.
All right, well, on today's episode of the show, we're going to be discussing six more players who will be part of the 2022 rookie class. So we went over six guys last week. We've got six more this week to break down before Thanksgiving Day is here. We'll talk about what our early impressions were of all these players. So before we get into that, just a reminder that this is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all that we ask in return is that you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. So six more guys that we're going to talk about this week. We've got three more running backs, three more wide receivers, a lot of the really exciting names in the running back class. We're going to talk Texas A&M's Isaiah Spiller, Iowa State running back Breece Hall, and Michigan State running back Kenneth Walker III. And then at wide receiver, we're going to talk South Alabama wide receiver Jalen Tolbert, Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson, and University of Southern California wideout Drake London. So a lot to get excited about with these six guys. Let's kick things off with Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama. Listed at 6'3", 190 pounds. He's a redshirt senior. Plays at South Alabama, so small school guy, but he's got decent size. Eric, why don't you kick us off and let us know what you think or what you thought about Tolbert's tape and if there was anything positive to take away from it.
I mean, I see the size and the speed combination. I see a lot of guys that are excited about him. A lot of people seem to think he's obviously going to be a hidden gem. You want to always uncover those guys, give them some airplay. There's just not a lot of tape to be found on them, unfortunately. We are plebs on this podcast. We don't have access to the all 22, so we got to scrounge up what we can find. And what we can find, I thought he did look good. Is he a senior? What is he?
Redshirt senior.
He's a redshirt senior.
So here's the deal. He needs to go to the Senior Bowl. He absolutely needs to go to the Senior Bowl. We need to see him against the top corners in the country that show up at the Senior Bowl. Let him get against that top competition. That's going to be a huge deal for him. He's probably still going on day three, and he'll be a wait and see. That's basically the gist for me. I do like him. I see why people like him, but he is what he is at this point. He'll be a wait and see.
I just realized I want to put Senior Bowl watch list like on my spreadsheet.
Yes, sir.
While you're talking about that.
Yeah, that is a good idea because I think that's a great point about the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he's like you said, he's a wait and see on that because if he can go there and dominate, that's awesome. Like he has the tools. Like he is a late round dynasty draft throw in rookie drafts. Like that late third, fourth round pick, and you're drafting off the tools. He has a 6'3 size. He is explosive down the field. He's really good in jump ball situations. I thought they kind of used him just one or the other. Like they just kind of threw it up to him and watched him when he didn't have a lot of versatility in the routes he ran from the games we get to see. Like that's my concern. I want to see what he can do with the full array of things. And the fact, like on the negative, he's also a redshirt senior from a tiny school in Southern Alabama, there's always that question of the competition. And yes, 72 catches for 1,283 yards is good, and 7 touchdowns is fine, but I kind of want more out of that production, which is absurd to say with 1,200 yards, but like, I want to see him dominate the red zone, and 17 TDs really isn't that for him. Like,
when you go to a small school, you want to see him.
Right. When you go to a small school like that, I want to see him dominate. Like these games where he has 2 receptions, 4 receptions, that's not acceptable for a guy who we're really trying to buy a fantasy. So we're buying the tools for a dart throw, but that's kind of what I'm looking at him as, is a dart throw.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's another great point saying that, you know, when you do look at these small school guys, you do want to see them dominate the competition since they are playing a lower level of competition. I think we're pretty much in lockstep on Tolbert. He's got traits. He's got tools. There's definitely times he's held back, I think, by pretty bad quarterback play. But I think he moves well for his size. He's got good speed. On the tape that I could find from him, there was really more drops than I expected to see. Mm-hmm. A lot of them seem to be kind of like focus or concentration related, so hopefully he can clean that up. But I do think, you know, he can use his frame and body control to adjust to off-target throws pretty well. But I agree. I think he's a day three guy, a wait-and-see guy, a guy that some people will pound the table for and absolutely love him, but not a guy that I expect really any production out of year one if you're stashing him in Dynasty, which is fine. It's fine to take those guys, you know, round three and hold them if you got the room, but I think it's a real wait-and-see.
Yeah, take a chance. Just do it late. Don't get super excited watching highlights on YouTube and draft them in the second round.
Yeah, agreed. There's plenty of other receivers you can spend a second round pick on this year. All right, let's move on to one of the running backs here. Why don't we start with Iowa State's Breece Hall? Breece Hall, somebody that, you know, the name's been on the radar for quite some time, had his huge real breakout a year ago, even after a productive freshman season. So Iowa State running back Breece Hall, he's listed at 6'1", 220 pounds. Ryan, why don't you kick things off for us with Breece Hall and tell us what you like and dislike and throw out that player comp you told me before we started recording. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like this one. I really like Breece Hall. I mean, he's a stud. He's a big back. He always falls forward. He doesn't take negative yards. He runs hard. He breaks tackles. He gets through players. He's super patient and lets the holes open up. And he has very solid hands, and he's versatile, man. Like, he's the complete package. He's an every-down runner. Like, he's one of the rare three-down backs with workhorse potential because he showed he can take that kind of workload. And that's what we wanted in a fantasy running back. My top form was Frank Gore. Like, not the ghost of Frank Gore that we saw last year. Like, when he came to the league and he just push pals, he made plays, he could play a big run every once in a while. He just was good at everything, and that's what you get out of Breece Hall. He's going to be a high-quality NFL starting back, and he's going to be a high-volume person, which is going to push him up in fantasy, like off the fantasy radar, and where he's going to rank, because he's not going to have to come off the field ever.
Fair points. Eric, what are your thoughts on Hall?
I thought he nailed it on the head there. I really like Breece Hall. Big, strong boy. That's my favorite type of running back. That's what Breece Hall is. Big, strong boy. I think if he gets into space, good luck. I watched the Texas game. He made Texas look terrible. Texas needs to go home and look themselves in the mirror after that game. I'll tell you that right now. That was bad. That talk about breaking someone's will. That was the Texas game. He is rarely down on first contact. He just has a load of power. See, we'll get into it when we talk about Spilla, but this is my style of running back here. I like this guy. The guy who could literally just run forward and it's like a stick of dynamite went off when he hits the hole. That's the type of guy I like at running back. That's Breece Hall. That is my favorite. He'll be my RB1 in this class.
That's exactly what I was just going to ask. So Hall will be your RB1?
Yes, 100%.
I really like Hall a lot, too. I really love a lot of the things we've all already said. I think he's got great contact balance. I love that he's a proven receiver. I love that on interior runs, he constantly, like, he doesn't go down at first contact, but he constantly keeps his legs churning. Like, it's it never stops. Like, he's constantly trying to pick up everything that's there. I think if he's lucky enough to fall into a spot where they've got like a very good offensive line, like, watch out, because the ceiling is crazy if he's got a very good line in front of him.
I think he could play in any role, any offense too.
I do too. Yeah, I thought he was scheme diverse.
Yeah, but man, I want to see him get worked.
Yeah,
like crazy volume.
Yeah, and I think he'll get it. Yeah, I mean he's at least he's got to get, I think, a little bit better in pass protection, but he's good enough at it, and he's got the size for it, and he's a good receiver. So, or at least a good enough receiver that he shouldn't have to come off the field. So, I'm pretty excited about Hall as well. Let's go back to the wide receivers. It's hard to pick who to talk about next because I know we're all excited about these last two guys. Let's talk USC wideout Drake London. The Drake London tape is fun. I'll kick us off on Drake London. Drake London, University of Southern California wide receiver. He's a big boy, 6'5", 210 pounds. This is the guy that I feel like has a true alpha skill set. Like, this is a guy that he's nearly unstoppable on comeback routes and back shoulder throws. After watching a couple games from him, what I wrote down was the 50-50 ball is more like 80-20 with him. Like, he is going to come down with them almost every time. Mm-hmm. He can play all around the formation. He's fast enough to threaten vertically. He's shown that he can beat press on the outside when he is pressed, even though it's not all that often in the Pac-12. I really love this guy, and there's a lot of years where he's like easily my number one wide receiver. I think it's just a testament to, just like it was the last few years, it's a crowded class. Right now, he's my wide receiver 3 out of these guys that we've looked at over the past 2 weeks. But it's like so close. Like, the separation between him and the top two guys is, you're really splitting hairs. I don't have any problems at all if somebody wants to say Drake London's wide receiver 1, because I think he absolutely has the talent to justify that. I know he's got the injury that he's coming off of, the ankle injury that shortened his season just a couple weeks ago, but by all indication, we'll have to see combine medical checks and all that stuff, but I think it's going to be fine. I expect him to be a first round guy or a very early second round guy at the latest.
Ryan, you go.
A lot of the same things. A couple things I really liked. He's super physical and he plays really chippy. Like, he'll be a little pushing and shoving. He blocks hard. He plays big boy ball. Like, one of my beefs I had with Treylon Burks was he didn't play up to his size. Drake London gives you everything you want. And you signed that for when you're covering a wide receiver that big. I love it. Dude runs super hard on every play. He plays strong like that. He plays like a power forward in the red zone. He just boxes out and wins. He plucks the ball. The one issue we had, which I feel is like just becoming more and more of a common theme, is concentration drops.
Yeah.
Like, he had some times where he bobbled it, dropped it, which he definitely shouldn't have. But I think he's good, man. I think he's a wide receiver 1B, so I think he should be just paired with somebody like an opposite skill set like we have with Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Like, I want him in that kind of a situation for him to really thrive. I think he's a top 10 possession receiver in red zone.
Yeah, and you can definitely see the basketball background in him. Like, the size is one thing, but he was a two-sport guy. Got recruited to SC to play basketball as well. It shows up for sure. And Eric, not to cut you off, I'll give it to you in one sec, but the other thing I wanted to say was there's times, like, for as unstoppable as he is when he runs that comeback route, it's like I watch it and the guy that was – easy for me to comp him to was Mike Evans, but when he runs that comeback route, I'm like, oh, that's like prime Brandon Marshall. Like, Brandon Marshall didn't lose on that comeback route.
No, and Brandon Marshall's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Eric, go ahead. Sorry to cut you off, but I had to throw that in there.
It's all good. I'm just going to echo what you guys said, that the high pointing the ball, he is all hands, no body catches. He's all gas, no breaks. Like, That was very refreshing to see. That's where the concentration drops come in. I understand that. I'm not even worried about that in the slightest. He is really, really freaking good. We talk about, you know, the power forward and how he's a big body. Let me tell you right now, his agility is A-OK. He had Notre Dame looking terrible.
Oh, like, man, yeah.
Notre Dame game, man. Notre Dame has a good defense. He made them look awful. I think cooked he had 100 them. Yards in the first half. Like, and let me tell you right now, I hate being negative. Keenan Slovis is a terrible quarterback. Like, he's bad. He's a bad quarterback. The fact that people were giving him some first-round love and holding on to that with the USC thing, oh, boy. I get it. It was early on. I'm not going to get on too many people, but, like, holy crap, dude. Like, there were so many balls that Drake London had no business catching, and he still caught them. Like, he's just – he's going to be nasty. He's just going to be nasty. I'm very confident he will be a very good player. I can't wait to see him. I've seen all, like, there are some wide receivers where you just pop on the tape and you're like, I've seen enough. We're good. I'll see you in the NFL. That's Drake London.
Yeah. 100% agree. He's going to be a good one for sure.
Yep.
All right. Let's swing it back to the running back side. Let's talk Texas A&M running back, Isaiah Spiller, kind of similar to Breece Hall. The name's been on the radar for people for quite some time. Junior running back from A&M. He's 6'1", 215 pounds. So another guy that's got that kind of big build similar to Hall. Eric, I know that I think you might have been a little more down on Spiller than Ryan and I were. So why don't you kick us off? Keep the negativity flowing. Let the hate flow through you.
I'll be Palpatine. he's not related to CJ Spiller, is he?
I don't think so.
It's a good question, but I don't think so. I'd have to look.
I'll look it up while you're...
That would be a bad omen.
CJ Spiller's monster at Clemson, man.
That's great. He was a terrible running back in the NFL. Listen, I don't... There's no... It's I said in the group chat that I hated him. I don't hate him. That's harsh. I'll take that back. What I don't like is every year there's a running back that we pick where I have to sit back and, like, listen to people go, oh, well, this guy, you know, he definitely deserves to be in the first round. This is the guy. This is the top running back in the class. Last year with Najee Harris, like, I bought it. I was like, this guy does deserve to be in the first round. Spiller, man, like, he's good. But if you're going to take him in the first round, dude, I feel like there's other running backs that can do what he can do. What he stands out in, I think, is his receiving capabilities. He is a very good receiver. That's why I pulled back the hate on him, because I was like, this guy actually is a very, very capable receiver. That's why he's going to make an impact in fantasy football. The running back position, don't get me wrong, he's explosive. He's good. But I still just feel like I'm a running back hater. That's my problem. I hate running backs. I don't like running backs. And when you bring up these guys, this guy, I feel like more so than Hall, a lot of people has this guy going as the first running back off the board. And I don't like when running backs go early. If he goes in the second round, I'll be happy. I'm a Grinch. Okay. I'm a Grinch. Just let me sit up on top of Mount Crumpet and descend upon the Who's. Okay. There you go. He's a good player. I just have my gripe with running backs.
Foss, what do you think about Spiller?
I don't think any. I just want to put it out there. I don't think any of these running backs should be first round picks this year.
Agreed. Like, I don't think. I think we're all on the same page with that. Yeah.
Like, I don't. I barely think any running backs last year should have been. Or like,
I probably stand by that too.
Like, it's just not that. But from just a player standpoint, I love what he does. Just running the ball, he was super creative in space. Like, if you're 1-on-1 on the outside with him, you're dead. Like, your ankles are shivering, breaking, and whatnot. He found his cutback lanes really quickly. Occasionally, you would see him running the back of his line. Like, he wasn't patient at first for it to open up. But that was really my only issue there. Once he found the hole, he was gone, dude. He's an explosive player. But, my God, him in the freaking passing game, he runs every route a wide receiver runs. He has great hands. He's smooth. And we've seen this lately, like, we're seeing the death of the workhorse running back. There's a few of them, like Najee Harris. I think Breece Hall could probably be that out of this class. But we're seeing these guys like DeAndre Swift who only need 15 to 20 touches, but in a completely unconventional way, being part of the passing game. And what he can do downfield in the passing game makes him special. And that's what I love in fantasy for him. Like, he might only be on the field 40 to 60% of the time, but that's enough.
Yeah, I love that aspect of his game as well. I think the receiving work is what will really set him apart, combined with the fact that he's pretty good in pass protection. Like, I don't think there'll be a lot of times where he comes off the field on third down. I agree with what you said, Ryan, that sometimes it's like he wasn't quite patient enough behind the line. I think he's got really good vision, but sometimes he just wasn't quite willing to wait that little extra second. But Texas A&M's line also, you know, leaves a little to be desired.
There's a lot of these explosive backs, especially when they're young, man. You're going to see that. Like, they're trying to make this big play and not patient.
Yep, agreed. I think him and Hall have, you know, three down skill sets. I think they're both guys that should go early round two in the NFL draft. I don't have a problem with either one of them being somebody's RB1.
Fantasy-wise, in rookie drafts, they're top five.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. All right, we got two guys left to get to. We'll go back to wide receiver and finish up over there with Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson. We talked to the other Ohio State wide receiver last week with Chris Olave. So let's get to his teammate, Garrett Wilson. Similar build to Olave. He's 6 foot, 192 pounds, junior wide receiver from Ohio State. Foss, kick us off. What's the scoop with Garrett Wilson?
My very first note I have on him is this prevalent. It's YAK in all capital letters with multiple exclamation marks. My God, this dude in open space is a freak. He makes people look so dumb. And you're dead.
Like, I'm laughing because my notes say YAK God.
Yeah, dude. Like, he's so good when he's in space. Remember how everyone talked this year how about Kadarius Toney was good in space, and that's what brought him when he got drafted? Guess what? He does that, but he runs a full route tree. He's versatile. He creates separation. He makes big plays everywhere. He's that in the complete package. Like, this dude is so good. I love Garrett Wilson, but he's so fun to watch. Like, even if you're not a film guy, you just kind of catch up on Fantasy Fruit Podcast stuff. Just watch his highlights, dude. He's so fun. But he's going to be good. He's a wide receiver one. He's somebody I kind of want him paired with somebody. I mentioned with Drake Lennon, they'd be beautiful paired together, like skill sets, the way they offset each other. But he's going to be great in fantasy. Like, he's somebody I'm targeting early.
Eric, go ahead. What do you think?
He would look great with Mac Jones throwing him the ball. Okay. Unfortunately, the Patriots are not picking top 10, which is where this guy's going to go. So I just had to squeeze in once. I had to squeeze in once this week.
Where did I put my Eric list at? I was creating a list of players you said draft picks you should say go to New England.
Oh, throw him in there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Throw him on that list. 100%. He's a Patriots fan's wet dream, I'll tell you right now. Like you guys said, the yards after the catch, the way he can separate, there were more than a few balls that were not well thrown and also had no business being caught. Like I said, with London, and Garrett Wilson caught every single one of them, like multiple behind him, some over his head, came down with all of them. I fail to find something where I'm like, nah, he's not good at that. He's good at everything. He is just the prototype wide receiver,
and he plays an alpha. He plays much bigger than he is too.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like exactly.
He plays big for being just 6 foot.
Yep.
Yeah, big time. Agree. That's exactly what I wrote. That he's way better in contested catches than you'd expect for somebody his size.
Yeah,
I agree. I think he's got a legitimate wide receiver one skill set. We've already said dynamic after the catch. I think he's super good at running routes, like a very, very clean, refined route runner. Very athletic. And yeah, there's not a lot of holes to poke in his game. There's not. He can win deep. He can win short and intermediate. He's somebody that should be really good early on.
I want to throw something out there right now. imagine Philly's offense with Hurts throwing the ball and Smith and Wilson on the outside. Good luck.
You want Hurts throwing the ball now?
Shut the hell up. Shut up. But anyways, that offense would be fantastic.
They have
70 first round picks. So that can happen.
That's a good point. All right. So Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave?
Wilson.
So before the show, I said Olave, but I realized I had a mistake in my number grades. And it's him. It's Wilson. I try to keep everything based on the numbers. Yeah, it's Wilson. I had his contested catch wrong for some reason.
Yeah, it's super, super close, and I love Olave, but I got to give the edge to Wilson after watching him a little more closely. He's too dynamic. The yards after catch is what makes a difference for me. I think Olave is better than he gets credit for there, but Wilson is like a elite difference maker in that area.
I have him graded 87.8 and 87.1, so they're right there.
I think Olave is a big play factory. I think Garrett Wilson is just Mr. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, he does everything well.
That's fair. All right. One last guy to wrap it up with. Michigan State running back, Kenneth Walker III. Probably nobody in college football has increased their draft stock the way Kenneth Walker III has. He is Michigan State running back. It's his only season at Michigan State. Transferred from Wake Forest. He's 5'10", 210 pounds, junior running back. Eric, kick us off. What were your thoughts on watching Kenneth Walker? And please tell us how much you enjoyed it.
Dude, I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit here. Do we know who he couldn't beat out at Wake Forest?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know if that's why he left, though.
Is that not why he left? I see he only had 98 attempts and 119. So he was playing. And it's not like he was bad either.
Leaving a school because you're not getting playing time normally goes to like a lesser school, not a much better school. I think this is just go to somewhere to get more recognition thing. I don't think it's I got beat not out. Playing time.
All right. Yeah. Well,
in 2020, he was second in attempts behind Christian Beale Smith, who had 107 attempts.
Yes. Christian Beale Smith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of A&R Automotive over there in Pennsylvania. I'm going to need you guys to say hi. Anyway, I don't even know what A&R Automotive is. I think I made that up. Kenneth Walker, I'm going to nickname him the Bullet. That's what Kenneth Walker is, the Bullet. He is, I've already said it once, I'm going to say it again, he is fast as hell. Just incredibly, incredibly fast, serious burst. If he hits a hole, he can be gone in, I was going to say 60 seconds, but that doesn't make sense here. So just really, really, really fast. He's so fast, he makes fast dudes look not fast. I'm going to quote the longest yard.
Yeah.
Fast. Yeah, I have one more note here. He's fast. Really fast.
Super fast. Real fast.
Super fast.
Fast. Keyword.
Fast.
F-A-S-T.
Fast.
Boss, dangerous in space.
Buzz, you got any fast thoughts on Kenneth Walker?
First of all, yes, Christian Beale had more attempts than him, 142 to 119, but Walker had 13 touchdowns.
How many did CBS have?
Stop it right now.
Five. Yeah.
CBS.
And Walker only played seven games. That's probably why he lost carries.
Wow.
You don't take carries away from CBS. Not even if you're Fox.
Only IBS can do that. Awesome. One of the things he really strung his moves together. Like, he was super creative, and you'd see like a hop, stack, mix, right, a cut, and it was immediate. Really love that about him. He has top-notch stop-start skills. Like, he went from full breaks to full speed in seconds, which is perfect for embarrassing guys. Obviously, big play potential every time. Biggest gripe, which I feel like it's his style of back. Tries to do way too much and takes big losses sometimes. Like these really fast guys, it's just part of it. Like it's just something to come to accept, but nonetheless, it's still an issue. Yeah, dude, he's a lead back in the NFL. He's going to start where he's at. If he's in a timeshare at first, he's going to be explosive and be playable, and it's going to be his job wherever he lands. He's good, man.
Yeah.
And he's a good pass catcher, too.
He takes those losses because he's so fast that, like, everyone else is so slow. That's just the way it is. If he showed up on the set of Fast and Furious, the cars would get jealous. That's how fast he is.
Boom.
Family.
He lives his life a quarter mile at a time.
Quarter mile at a time.
Family. Yeah, so I don't know if it's come up, but this guy is fast. Kenneth Walker is super fast. I'll start with the cons. Like, I think we all kind of have said the same things. He is super fun to watch, especially in the open field. But you know, sometimes he'd be better off taking what's there instead of trying to bounce it and do a million crazy things to make something out of nothing. But you know, you don't want to take that all the way out of him either because you love the big plays. I think that he's got the traits to be a really good pass catcher. I just wish there was more of it to see or to look at. But I don't think he's very good in pass protection at all. Like he'll have to get better at that. But he should be able to, you know, with coaching. Yeah. And you know, it's the one huge year production after losing playing behind CBS. But the pros are, yeah, he looks like he's shot out of a cannon. He's got great vision. He finds cutback lanes super easily. Super agile. He can run through people, around people. He's really, really fun. And if there was a more of a history of him being a proven pass catcher, he's probably pretty easily my running back two behind he's my running back three right now behind Breece Hall. I have it Spiller, Hall, and Walker, but I don't know. That's written in pencil, not ink.
I really like him, man. I think he's going to be a good back.
With these backs, because they're all so good, like we really like these guys, landing spot is going to be everything.
Yeah.
It's going to take one of them and be like, this is firmly the RB1 now.
I think Walker, out of all these guys, though, landing spot matters the most.
I could get on board with that.
I want him in a zone read offense with mobile quarterback.
San Francisco?
No, shut your mouth. No, I don't want to see any running back San Francisco ever again. Stop it. I'm tired of it. It's running back by committee forever, and they hate us. No.
Just think a whole offseason of, is it Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell, or Kenneth Walker?
And someone wacky like Jeffrey Wilson. Stop.
Yeah, there's like 500 people.
You shut your mouth there. No.
I mean, they fit exactly what you just said.
How about Arizona?
Alan Reed, mobile quarterback. Come on.
Arizona would be fun.
How about Arizona? No.
Arizona would work. I would love to see him play with Colt McCoy.
Later, taters.
Texas legend Colt McCoy. Speaking of fast.
Oh, my God. All right. The one last thing that I'll say is, you know, between two shows, like we've talked about 12 guys total, and I disagree with every person for the last year who said to fade 2022 picks, because the vast majority of these guys we've talked about this week and last week we've said are super exciting and are going to be fantasy relevant. Besides, you know, we said Jalen Tolbert was a stash guy. Zamir White, you know, wasn't super exciting, but could have a role depending on where he lands. But the rest of it is like, there's going to be a lot of good fantasy contributors in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
So far, out of all the guys I've watched, I have a few more in. I have 4 running backs, 7 receivers who could be like legit fantasy. They could fill up your first round, and I'm comfortable with taking any of them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And like our running backs, all of our order is different. Like our top 3 order is different for all of them, and you can't argue that. So load up on them picks and trade back if you got the high one.
Yeah.
Like if you got that one overall, move back, accumulate.
Yeah, I actually love that this year, especially because I think back end of round 1 and Like top half of round two is going to be filled with good players.
We don't have the marquee name, but we got a lot of really good talent.
Yeah, 100%. You guys have anything else to add before we skedaddle on out of here?
Enjoy your turkeys, and congratulations to Eric on adding a new puppy to the family.
Yeah, support the podcast. I have a puppy to support now.
Leave reviews.
One more mouth to feed.
Yeah,
just another mouth to feed.
If we don't get reviews, his puppy's not going to get fed. So
yeah,
yeah,
so, he's a 5-star review.
Yeah. You don't want to be a puppy neglector.
Yeah, so that just wouldn't be good, especially not at the holidays. So please leave a review and rate 5 stars.
Yeah, he's a small boy. He's skinny.
Yeah. Got to beef him up.
We got to put some meat on this guy.
A little McCorkle.
I will say, though, he's fast.
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu. I'm pouring one out.
All right. We'll get to Tutu in a couple weeks, I'm sure. But
his time is coming.
Yeah, it's coming. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to those that celebrate. And thank you all for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We'll be back with more of the Dynasty Draft Room next week. But in the meantime, make sure to check out all of our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. And keep it locked in here on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network so you don't miss any of the top-notch content we've got coming your way as the 2022 NFL Draft approaches. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later, taters. Gobble, gobble, gobble.